Good morning, Christchurch. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, I pray that you would please help us today. I pray that you would open up our eyes to see who you are and what you can do in each and every one of our lives. I pray, Father, that you would fill us with your spirit, that we would not live lives controlled by fear, but we would live lives directed by your power, love, and self-control. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Not that long ago, my girls and I went to this really fun place where they had a laser room that you had to work together to escape. And not in my wheelhouse, but my girls really wanted to do it. And you teamed up in pairs of two, and you had like an entrance that you had to go in. And as soon as the timer went off, you went in, and the room was filled with lasers. And they were coming out of like the walls and the floor, and it was like a maze obstacle course. And you had to figure out how to get through the lasers. And there were like sensor touch points, and like one person would touch one, and then you'd have to get to the other side of the room and touch the other one. And I went in totally unprepared. I had my hat on, I had a coat on, I had my giant mom bag with me. So like no matter which way I turned, I was literally tripping up the lasers every time I did it. So I had to like really quickly, like I took my hat off, I set my bag down, and I'm trying to like move my way through to get to my touch point. And I was laughing because I'm like, this feels like life right now. Like there are all of these obstacles that we're trying to like hop through and move around with like out touching off the right lasers. And we've got all these things that are being thrown at us and we feel super unprepared for like 90% of them, maybe 110% for some of us. And we're trying to dodge these obstacles. And it feels like we're trying to like move around, but we're weighted down and we're carrying these things and it just kind of makes a mess of it all. And I know that for many of us, one of these big obstacles that we keep running into again and again and again is fear. And it's one of these things that, like, you don't even have to dig deep right now. Like, it's right there. You don't even have to, like, work hard. You don't even have to spend a lot of time on the news right now to feel afraid. Like, you just pull up, like, one headline, and it's like, bam, here are 15 things you should be terrified of right now and why the world is coming to an end immediately. And we have the stupid virus that won't go away. And we have all of this instability in our economy and the disruptive political climate we've been trying to navigate our way through and the violence that just keeps happening. We have all, it's hard to watch. And we're struggling for justice. And then don't even bring in like our own personal fears, right? Like that's just the world. We all have our own hearts and our own fears. And we start being afraid for the people that we love or losing the ones that are closest to us or not having enough of what it takes to get through it all or the fear of being abandoned or rejected, all these different fears that we're facing. And if those individual fears aren't enough, we have this great big fear of the unknown and the unexpected, and we have the what-if game that we like to play. Maybe you're good at it, like 3 o'clock in the morning, those what-ifs that like run through your head. All the worst case scenarios of any situation that could possibly happen. And it's exhausting. And many of us find ourselves just bumping into this again and again. And I want to show us a different way. Because the spirit that God gives us is not a spirit of fear, but in fact feels very, very different. This is what Paul said to his friend Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 6. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." And I love these verses so much. Like, if you ever want to add a verse to your I'm memorizing category, this is a great one to be able to say to yourself again and again and again. Paul says, I want to remind you something really, really important right now. I don't want you to forget this. You had this incredible moment where you felt called by God. We were there, we prayed for you, and you felt stirred up and empowered and encouraged to go do this good work. And that holy calling that God gave you, he gifted you to do this incredible work. And we can't ever forget that this work you're doing, this life that you're living, you aren't doing it alone. God's partnered with us in the Holy Spirit, and he's filling us with faith and empowering us and encouraging us and teaching us and reminding us and growing us up into the people that God has called us to be. And Paul says, remember, Timothy, God made this awesome investment in you, and you can't ever forget that. And he says, you got to fan into flame that gift that God has given you. This expression is kind of the image of, I don't know if you've ever made a fire before, and it's kind of going out, and it's almost completely banked, but you kind of like blow some air in it, and you fan it a little bit, and it needs rekindled, and you stir it up to get that fire going again. And some of us need that stirring up in our lives. It feels like our fires are being dimmed and that spark is going out. But Paul says we can remember, just as Timothy did, that God is still at work, that God is still awesomely at work empowering us. And we need sometimes that reminder that sparks us back to life, that rekindles our hearts and reactivates our faith, that just a little bit of fresh air blown on it fans into flame the good work that God has been doing with us. And when we remember that, God is at work and he's partnered with us and he's got this spirit at work in us and he's put us on his team and all of the things that he's capable of, then we get to also remember verse 7, God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Because sometimes when our hearts feel dim and our sparks feel low, it's hard to remember this. We see all of the hard, and we see the things that seem impossible, and we see the things that are out of control, and we feel like there's nothing that could change and nothing that we could do. But that fear that we feel in these moments does not come from God. In fact, the Spirit of God feels very, very different. I love how Craig Groeschel, who's an incredible pastor, said it. He said, fear isn't an absence of faith, it's faith in the wrong things. When we feel fear, what we're doing is putting our faith in the what ifs instead of God is. And I love this image so much because we're really good at those what ifs, aren't we? We're really good at picturing. I have fully planned out imaginary scenarios and futures in my head based on my list of what ifs. And I mean, I've thought through all the contingencies, everything that could go wrong, everything that could be terrible, and none of them happen. I've wasted so much time and energy and rest and well-being on things that absolutely never came to pass. And that fear that it spun up in my heart, it was faith in the wrong things. It was faith in the scary what-ifs of life instead of faith in who God is. And that fear that we face so many times can feel paralyzing, right? Like there's nothing we can do. It holds us back and we don't even know how to go forward. We don't know how to do the next right thing because we're so paralyzed where we are. At the same time, it can feel intimidating, like everything is just so hard. There's nothing we could do that make a difference. There's no dent that we could put in it. Why even try? It's so big and it's so hard. I really have to like filter my news consumption because this is what the news does, isn't it? It's like all the big, flashy, scary, hard things that are there. And it feels like so much evil and so much violence and so much injustice. Like, what do you even do? How do you even make a change or do anything different? And a lot of times what happens is when we feel these things, we go into protection mode, right? Like we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our family, our loved ones. And the things feel so out of control that there's nothing we could do, that we have to protect the things that are closest to us. And that starts to feel powerful and out of control. And from protection mode, we go into survival mode. I just have to get through this. I just have to survive. And it holds us back from trying, or it holds us back from doing the next right thing, or it holds us back from thinking through new opportunities and possibilities. Because fear says no. Fear says don't do that. You're going to get hurt. Fear says you've been hurt before. Remember how bad it was. Don't put yourself in that place again. Fear says, don't do it, don't try it, don't go there. And it keeps holding us back from trying anything new. And it lies to us and says, you're better off here. This is comfortable. This is good. You can't change anything anyway, so why even bother trying? And then if that isn't bad enough, this fear that settles in robs us of our hope and our dreams for the future. Because when we live here and all of our energy goes into just surviving this mode and this place, We can't ever see how anything could be different. When all we see is the bad and the negative and the pain and the hurt, we can't feel hope. We only feel despair. We can't remember what could be. We only remember the terrible of what's already been. And in this protection mode, in this survival mode, we start thinking like, I've got to protect all of the limited resources we have. And it's hard to think beyond just the day today. And many of us have experienced waves of this through this last year in different ways and in different places and in different times. And it's robbed us of our confidence. It's robbed us in our possibility of who God is and what he might do. But what Paul reminds us today that many of us need to hear, yeah, fear is real. One of the biggest commands that's repeated over and over again in the Bible is do not be afraid. Why? Because all of us feel this. All of us experience it, and it's real. But it is not the only voice that we have to listen to. It's not even the loudest voice that we have to listen to. Because when we are driven only by fear, we never live our best lives. We never make our healthiest choices. We never move forward in our healthiest ways. But Paul says, can I please remind you that God gives us a voice that is louder and greater than fear. And the Spirit of God is not driven by fear or protection or survival. It is instead driven by these three awesome values of power and love and self-control. And the greatest gift in this reminder, too, is that we aren't in it alone. We aren't out there facing the fears and the hard and the struggles by ourselves. God is partnering with us in his Holy Spirit. And every single day, we have someone on our side to empower us and strengthen us and partner with us as we face things one more day, one more time. So let's look at these ideas. What does God give us? What does the Spirit of God feel like? It doesn't feel like fear. First, it feels like power. And I love this idea so much because fear feels like the opposite of power, doesn't it? It feels like there's nothing you can do. You are the victim. Everything is happening to you. There's nothing you can do about it. You're not strong enough. You're not powerful enough. You're not in control enough. And it makes you feel weak and ineffective. And none of us like feeling that way, so we avoid it or we pretend it doesn't exist. But the Holy Spirit pushes back against those feelings and says, we find our greatest strength in our relationship to God. We're more than capable for all of the things that we have to face because we aren't doing it alone. God is with us, strengthening us, empowering us, encouraging us, challenging us. And even when things seem impossible and overwhelming, we have this constant reminder that a holy and mighty God is on our side. He's made us capable. He's given us the strength to be mighty, and our faith in who he is has to be stronger than our faith in the fear of the what-ifs. Our faith in who Christ is and what he's done is always going to remind us of greater things than any of the things that we confront. No fear that we come up against or struggle that we find our way through is ever going to be more powerful than God. But we got to remind ourselves in the moment, because in the moment it feels like the fearful things, the hard things, are bigger than anything else. And we need the voice of God in our hearts and minds reminding us, okay, I do feel afraid right now, but God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me one of power and love and self-control. And when I don't feel like enough, I am able to turn to the one who is and put my faith in Jesus Christ. In him, we've got value and worth and love and strength and guidance. Our reflection isn't meant to mirror what others have done or who others have been or even all of the things that we've gone through. Our reflection is supposed to reflect the image of an awesome, incredible God. And every time we think about God, every time we put our faith in Jesus Christ, every time we let the Holy Spirit empower us, we push back and diminish the things that feel so big. Remember when you were little and you felt so afraid of some things that just felt like overwhelming, right? Like you were convinced there was something under the bed that was going to get you, or you were convinced some terrible thing. And then you got older and you looked at it and you're like, oh, that's not so bad. Like time and maturity helped change that a little bit. And the same thing happens even now in our lives. In the dark of night, the scary things feel scary and the big things feel bigger. But even there, when we shine the light of Christ into them, he's able to diminish them and make them smaller and smaller and smaller. God gave us this incredible spirit to do a good work in us, to give us the energy that we need to continue, to give us the strength that we need to keep going, the courage to stand back up with the faith we need to persevere again and again and again. The Spirit of God gives us power and encourages us to keep on going and keep on trying. But it also gives us love. And I love that this is included here, because as God is working in our character and helping us grow in our values and our faith, this Spirit of love grows inside each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is able to help us grow in our ability to serve and be generous and compassionate and in ways that we can help contribute and make a difference in the world, in our church, and in our home, and in our communities. And that Holy Spirit at work in us helps us love better than we could love on our own. It helps us look out at people around us and see in them their humanity. Not the things that drive us apart, not the things that we disagree about, not all of the things that make us different, not the things that we can't stand, but the divine potential that lives within each and every one of us. That's the Spirit of God at work in us. The ability to look beyond just our own selfish interests. The ability to look beyond just how things affect me and how things are revolving around me, but seeing the people who are in this world around us and their needs and how we can take part in helping. Because Christ loves us so well, he empowers us to go out and love others. I love Jen Hatmaker said it this way: no one is unlovable. We were literally created by love, with love, and for love by a God who loves us all and is love itself. Its extravagance is almost embarrassing. And this love is not just for one type of person the world finds acceptable. It's for all of us. There's literally nobody who's unlovable. We aren't unlovable. Even at our worst, Christ loves us well. Friends, we are the girls that Christ said is lovable and good. We are the guys, the sons that God came into the world to save. Each and every one of us is valued and has worth because of the love that Christ shares with us. When we were at our worst, Christ was at his best. When we were drowning in a mess, Christ came in, found us, and helped us find our way through. Christ stepped towards us. It's why any of us have any hope of a future, of going forward, of living differently, because Christ stepped towards us. And he pushed past all of the mess, and he pushed past all of the things that people said were unworthy and not good and not lovable about us, and he found a place for us, and he included us, and he loved us, and he freed us and released us and empowered us to go out into the world and love in generous and radical ways, just as he has loved us. It is because Christ loved us first that any of us get to love others well. It's in fact the love of Christ that compels us to move forward differently. To find any hope to love, we need Christ at work in us, and God's Spirit feels like love at work in us, the love of Christ that motivates us and encourages us and drives us, that makes us respond to people around us with love and grace and kindness. And here's the last thing Timothy tells us. He said, we have this awesome spirit at work within us, giving us power and love, but also of self-control. And because God's at work strengthening us, empowering us, helping us at work in our lives and our thoughts and our behaviors, he gives us this ability for self-control, the ability to manage our lives, the ability to manage our emotions and our thoughts and our behaviors and our actions. They are not out of our control. I have felt like my emotions were out of control more times than I care to count. But I'm not a slave to my emotions. They're loud and they're real and they poke and push and prod at us. But they're not always true. They're not always right. Because I feel it doesn't mean it's the only thing that's true. I don't have to live controlled by my emotions or controlled by my fears. I don't have to live controlled by my bad impulses or my bad choices or my bad thoughts. We all have within us the ability to take control of our lives. None of us have to say, like, I've got no willpower. I tried. Because we've all tried to do the right thing before, haven't we? Like, I'm going to do the healthy thing. I'm going to make the healthy choice. And we just tried to, like, willpower and, like, gut our way through it. And we can do for, like, a small period of time. But over time, it's hard to sustain because willpower is fleeting. And the more tired we are, the less willpower we have. The more exhausted we feel, the less we have in us to push back against those things that come up. But none of us have to say it's out of my control. None of us have to say that we're just a victim of circumstance and what's happening. It is within all of our control to make healthy choices and healthy behaviors and make the changes and wise decisions we need to do life well. Because the Spirit of God at work in us gives us self-control, the ability to manage our own selves in a healthy and right way. The strength we need to do the right things and the capacity that we need to manage ourselves. And I know that this is hard to hear, but I want you just to please, like, just as much as you can open your ears to hear this right now. There is nobody better suited to manage your life right now than you. There's nobody that is better gifted or more capable. There's nobody who has more of what it takes than you do to manage your own life well. You are, in fact, perfectly designed to manage and live your life well. And sometimes that feels like so far from the opposite of truth because we look at everybody else and it feels like they've got it all together and they haven't had to struggle with our problems or they haven't had to work through our choices or they don't have the family that we have or the past that we have or the bad choices that we've made or the bad behaviors that we're working our way through. They don't have the same problems that we have and we think their life must be easier or better, right? The grass is always greener on the other side. But the truth is, the grass is greenest where you water it. And if we want healthy lives, then we water our own souls and nurture our hearts, our lives, and our well-being. You are perfectly equipped right now to live your best life. God's given us all that we need, all the grace that we need to do life well has already been given to us to do the next right thing. That's the Spirit of God at work in us, reminding us, I can do this. I can make a different choice. I can make a wise choice, a better choice, a healthier choice, and live my life differently. I love this idea because some of your translations might say a sound mind. So God gives us, you know, the spirit of power and love and self-control, or if it's a sound mind, it's kind of these ideas go together, right? When we are overwhelmed with life and fear and exhaustion and pain and struggle and all of the things, nothing about my mind feels sound. Like, nothing about my mind feels in control. In fact, it feels like a swampland of mess that sometimes it's hard to navigate my way through. But God is at work in us, wading through the swamp and shining a light to show us the way out. He guides us in the way that we should go. And even when I feel my most out of control, God has not surrendered his control. He still is at work, even when I am struggling. even when the world feels around me like it's out of control and things are a mess and we are headed in a crash course collision, God is still at work. God hasn't surrendered his control in my life, in this world, over all of eternity. We can trust in him. The God who has been in control from the beginning is still in control today and will still be in control tomorrow. The question isn't, does God have enough? The question isn't, can God do this? The question is, am I willing to stop putting my fear, my faith in the wrong things and put my faith in him instead? What do we need to do to get back control of our lives, our minds, our hearts? What are we afraid of that's just been holding us back and robbing us of peace again and again and again? We don't have to hide from it. We don't have to pretend that it doesn't exist. We can call it by name. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what I'm worried about. This is what I'm struggling with. And in the power of God, we can face it and we can move forward and find our way. We can stare it down with power and love and self-control. We can replace that what if reel in our head. This is a huge practice. Write it down and try it. The next time all of those what ifs are running through your head, replace them with statements about who God is instead. You've got all the worries, all the fears, all the things that possibly could happen. And instead of listing those and playing through those, instead say, okay, but God is greater than this. God is in control. God is good and strong and mighty, and he's faithful and he's just. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's got this, and he's not done yet. Replace the what ifs with who God is and see what God doesn't do to drive back that fear again and again. I want to remind us these incredible words. I love Erwin McManus. He's an awesome preacher in Hollywood. And he said, our world often thinks that a warrior as somebody who dominates with external strength, maybe even at the expense of another. But the true warrior is on a far greater quest to realign the human soul from anxiety to peace, from pain to power. He said, the warrior enters the arena not from greed or for gain, but rather to slay the artificial life, to pursue a life of artful intention. He said, every day I find myself at war. Even after all these years, there are battles that rage within me. He said, but rather than losing ground, I find myself gaining it day by day, still fighting behind enemy lines. He said, I have known all the enemies of the human spirit. I have known fear and doubt, bitterness and anger. I've known jealousy and greed. They're all too familiar to me. And after many years walking this ancient path, I have come to know this one truth most certainly. The world within you will create the world around you. Listen how powerful that is. The world within you will create the world around you. Friends, the greatest fight that we have to fight isn't what's going on around us. It's not the fights that we see playing out in the news or in the world or in our families or our communities. The greatest fights each and every one of us face is what's going on inside of us. The greatest threat that we have to ourselves is us, ourselves. But the world we create within us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our body, in a spirit, will direct the world around us. We have the ability to live with power, love, and self-control. And the very one we need to help us win the fight comes in Jesus Christ, the one who has not been held back by fear, who has not surrendered his authority and has an incredible work to do in you and I. He is on our side to see us through. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, please. I pray that each and every one of the hearts that are listening to these words today, Father, you would direct us back to you. I pray that we would not be overwhelmed by the spirit of fear that we have faced again and again and again, but we would be empowered by your spirit, that you would give us power, love, and self-control and strengthen us to be the champions you've called us to be. Father, I pray that we would just wage war within our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. We would drive out everything that should not be there, and our hearts would be wholly focused on you. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.